Good evening, everyone. We'll try it one more time. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see you tonight here at Harvest. Those of us who are here, those watching by way of Facebook, listening by way of radio, it is good to have you in tonight's service. I'm going to ask you if you would just stand with me tonight, and we're going to start by singing hymn number 708. Behold what manner of love. Sing it out.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us.
Let's sing it again, church.
Behold what man of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what man of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God.
Father, tonight how we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. How we thank you for the opportunity to pause from our week, to come aside from all of the struggle, from all of the stress, from all of the problems and issues that we face, and just pause and focus ourselves once again on you and on your word and on your precious promises to us. Lord, I ask tonight that you would allow us to do just that, to focus our hearts on you. And in doing so, Lord, I pray that we would find tonight everything that our hearts need. Would you encourage us tonight and strengthen us tonight? Lord, convict us tonight where necessary. And Lord, I pray that if there's one who's joined us tonight that has never made that personal decision to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that tonight you would do such a work in their hearts to draw them to the Christ, to the cross of Calvary, that they would turn, repent, and believe in Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would have your will, have your way tonight, and we ask all of this for your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, glory to his name.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. At the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart blood of life. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to
seeing tonight. We'll turn now to 707. He giveth more grace.
When the labor's increased to add it up. soon. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, and our strength has failed, and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving is only begun. His faith has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary, no, none to bear. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. We'll sing verses number 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Verse 2.
I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
On the last,
I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love for me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with Him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Golden Ole tonight on a Wednesday night. How about that? Well, okay, we got a lot going on, you know, right now. So we thought, well, hey, we'll do it tonight. And tonight we're going to be doing a song that I just wonder how many of you know this song. And that is, the title of it is All That Thrills My Soul. All That Thrills My Soul. All right, a good number of you already do. Written by a gentleman by the name of Thurl Harris. Thurl Harris had a very interesting ministry. Because of his background, he was able to move between the black race and the white race without, you know, just without any trouble. He wrote a lot of music for the black church. He wrote a lot of music for the white church. And he just had a real burden and was just really well-loved all across. And coming from Washington, D.C. and living in Washington, D.C., that really says a lot, you know, it truly does. But he lived back in the 1800s, and he was also known as the Bookman. And that's because he had a great desire to distribute Christian literature, Christian books, good books. And he was known not so much for his music in Washington as it was for his books. because they said you could see him at any time of the day going up and down the streets carrying a big canvas bag of books that he was selling that he wanted to see distributed. So we're going to sing this song right here. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. One of those songs, once it gets anchored in your heart, you'll just go everywhere you go, you'll be singing it. Amen. Good song.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Belcher. You may be seated. It's good to have you with us tonight. Of course, it's good to have our Awana programs tonight. We've got a number of boys and girls, young people, and a lot of them have funny hats on tonight. In fact, it's crazy hat night at Awana. So if you get an opportunity before you leave, appreciate the masterpieces that the young people brought with them on their heads this evening. And of course, we've got our visitation program going tonight. So we've got a number of teams out and about passing out the good news that Jesus saves. Amen. Amen. But it's good to be in here worshiping the Savior tonight. As we pause for a moment, I've got a card that I'd like to read. It says, "Your thoughtfulness is a blessing." It says, "The things you do might seem like little things to you, but those little things have a way of making lives better and brighter. Thank you." It says, "Pastor and all the precious people at Harvest Baptist Temple, thank you seems like such a small thing to say, but we are all deeply grateful to each of you that has sacrificed to be a blessing to our family during and really before, during and after the homegoing of Mrs. Tooley. Words can't express our thankfulness, but we pray you know how appreciative we are. We pray that the Lord blesses each of you abundantly as you serve him. Loving Christ, Brother Tooley, Brother Roger Tooley, Miss Tammy, Rebecca, Thomas, and Caleb." And so, church, thank you for the love that you have extended to this family and continue to. And we love you guys. Mr. Tooley, we love you. And we continue to pray for you on a regular basis. We love you, my friend. And so thank you, church, for that. A couple of other announcements we want to make the church aware of. Of course, this coming Sunday night is special here at Harvest. It is our annual youth takeover service. And that sounds aggressive, but it really is a blessing. And so I'll encourage you to be here for that. The young people will be doing everything. They'll be greeting you. They will be leading the music. They will be singing special music. They'll even be bringing the message that night. And so I want to encourage you to pray for them and also be here as the Lord has given them a ministry to minister to us that night. And so I come excited about what the Lord has for me through them on Sunday night. And I trust you are as well. And then we want to let everybody know, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, April the 25th, will be our annual radio business meeting immediately following the evening service. And so our radio station has just finished their spring share-a-thon and is put together a new budget for this coming fiscal year. And so it's an opportunity for us as a church to be able to hear about the great things that God has done over the last year, as well as look forward to the things that God is doing and some important business to take care of that night. So for our membership especially, make plans to not only be here, but to stay for the radio business meeting following the evening service on Sunday, April the 25th. As we pause to ask the Lord to bless our tithes and offerings, again, thank you to the church for your faithfulness in giving to the things of God, as God has been faithful to increase you, your faithfulness then to give to the increase of His kingdom. We've been praying that this year the Lord will allow us to be debt-free by the end of the year, and so we are well on our way to that. To give you a little update, after making our April payment, our principal is down to right about $73,000. And so we are making strong, strong progress and have every expectation that the Lord will allow us to see debt-free by the end of this calendar year. Of course, some of you have asked if the Lord would so lead you to give towards that. You can do so by giving towards debt reduction and or loan funding. That would be the type of thing you would need to label it so that we could be sure to make sure that it gets to the proper place. But thank you, church, for your faithfulness in giving to those things. And if we could, let's bow and ask the Lord to bless that which is given even tonight. Father, we love you. And Lord, again, Lord, how we marvel at your faithfulness to us. Lord, we shouldn't be so surprised by how abundantly you bless us and how faithfully you take care of us. Lord, even my own heart, how easily I get shaken into thinking, what are we going to do? And just like the feeding of the 5,000, you've known all along. But Father, we thank you and we worship you tonight for being such a faithful God. And Lord, tonight, part of our worship towards you is returning a portion of that which you have given to us. Lord, I pray everything that is given would be given out of a heart of worship tonight, a heart of worship that recognizes just how good and gracious our God is. And Lord, I pray that you would receive our worship and magnify your precious name through it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For your ministry and song tonight. Folks on the platform are excused. I would invite Mr. Brown, and if someone would be willing to help Mr. Brown tonight with a microphone, we would be grateful for that. But here on Wednesday nights at Harvest, we love to pause and just have a time where we can pray for and with one another, where we can have an opportunity to share requests with one another. We believe in a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God, don't we, church? And so it's only fitting then that we pause and take this time to hear one another's prayers, to pray for one another, to pray with one another, and love one another in so doing. So I'd encourage you to get out your prayer list, get out something to write with, an opportunity for us tonight to maybe hear some updates and some new requests. I have two requests in particular that I would like for us to pray for tonight, if we could. The first request, and we have been praying for this family, but in a special way tonight, I want to continue to do so, that we pray for Brother Gino Sharp and for his family. As they continue to grieve and go through this process and life without Miss Benita, and they've just moved recently, which was a big deal. To have to go through the house and move to a different place. And so I just have it on my heart deeply tonight that we pray for Brother Gene, that we pray for the kids, that the Lord would just continue to be a grace and peace to them in this difficult time. And it's also good for us, church, because as we pause and specifically pray for people, the Lord often uses things like that in our own life to lead us to reach out or to love, to be an avenue of grace in a special way. So I want to encourage you, as the Lord leads you to do so, that you do reach out with a call, a text, a phone card, some sort of way just to indicate our love and our prayer and our support for them. But if we could tonight have some special prayer for Brother Gino Sharp and his family and his ministry. And then, church, if we could, I ask tonight that, and this is something we've been praying for as well, I ask tonight that we continue to pray for our country. That we continue to pray for our country. There is deep hurt, and there's deep anger, and there are deep divides. And, you know, as believers, we understand things differently, that the root of all these issues is sin. And at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to fix it is to deal with sin. And but church, my heart hurts for my country when I see the things that are taking place. And I don't ever want us as the Church of Jesus Christ to back away from the reality that we have the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is Jesus Christ. Do you know how to bridge the divine? Do you know how to become one? Do you know how to break down those barriers? It's Jesus Christ. That's what He does. That's what He did when He brings us into the church. You know, the Bible talks about how in Christ we're no more male or female or bond or free or these different things, but we are one in Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is still the answer to sin and all its side effects. And church, in a loving way, for us to pray for our country, but hold high the answer and unapologetically hold high the answer, that the answer is still Jesus. Amen. And so I ask that we would, that we pray for our country tonight. I know there are some other requests from the congregation, so we want to pause at this time. If you have a request, if you just slip your hand up and one of these gentlemen will get you a microphone. So we'll start in the back there with Miss Ronette.
You to remember Angie again in prayer, or still. She had to go for some testing and some blood work just at Firelands yesterday, and she's having excruciating pain. She went to get up this morning, and she said, I couldn't move, you know, for a while. And she said, I just made myself, after a while, get up.
Mm.
And so they are starting to change all her meds around. They're going to start incorporating some new ones throughout this next week, too. Just pray that they find something where she can get some relief from that pain.
Yes, ma'am. Is she still actively undergoing treatments, or have they paused after the internal?
They have paused that for now.
Okay. Continue to pray for Angie and the family. Miss Roberta.
My brother is doing awesome. God is amazing and working in his life. Today he was moved from Denver back to Colorado Springs. He's in rehab for 7 to 10 days, but he's doing well, and Rachel does not have to drive an hour and a half one way to see him every day, so that's a blessing too. So just keep Tom and Rachel in your prayers as he continues to get better.
Amen.
And also for my aunt, her name is Naomi Daly, and she lives in Tennessee. She's a Christian, but she's having major back surgery on Friday, similar to what I had done, but she has a growth at the end of her spine they're going to remove. So please keep her in prayer.
Amen. And praise the Lord for his miraculous healing in Tom's life. I mean, he was sedated and intubated for about a week, wasn't he?
8 days.
8 days. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we could get a microphone to the back, to our sound room. Melanie has one for us.
Ben Thompson goes back to the doctor tomorrow, so I'm sure they would appreciate prayer as they have his follow-up. Also, Talia Lozano had surgery last week on her knee, and she's really been struggling with that since then. And so pray for healing and pain control there. And lastly, we announced about our fourth and fifth grade teacher being Evan on Sunday night, but really pray for God's direction and leading that he would provide the K-5 and first grade teacher that we need for this coming year.
Amen. Yeah, for the school, we're still looking for a kindergarten and first grade teacher for next year. So pray for that and other staffing needs that come up and come around. So trust in the Lord to fill all of those gaps on our behalf. Larry Petrie.
Or so, and he'd been in an accident on the way home from work. Somebody left the center, and Joel took to the shoulder, and the guy really mashed the car behind Joel.
Mm.
So he wasn't hurt that he's aware of. His car minor, but the Lord looked after him. And actually, the lady driving the car behind wasn't hurt very bad that they know of.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord for his protection in those ways, and pray for the injuries that are there. Step.
Carol Kahn's in the hospital, and we don't know what's wrong yet.
Okay. So Carol Kahn, she faithfully joins us by way of Facebook and radio, and she's part of our some of our ministries, and in need of a touch tonight physically. So if we could remember her in prayer, that the Lord would give the doctors wisdom to diagnose, and that the Lord would bring healing in her physical body. Anyone else this evening? All right, Mrs. Berry.
I'd like to also give the Lord praise. As most of you know, we brought my oldest sister home to live with us. She was in an assisted living and was not handling the COVID, the shutdowns that they would have to keep them in the room for months at a time. You know, they couldn't even get out to eat in the dining room, and it just took its toll. So we brought her home, and she's doing much better. We get three steps forward and just one back. There's always something that seems to, as we're working on it. But my prayer request is, now that she's doing better and we've gotten her off of some of the psychotropic drugs they had her on for her depression and to help her sleep, she's getting up anywhere from 2 to 5 times a night. So if you pray that she sleeps, and because it's kind of hard to get up that many times. I've got it down to 15 minutes, but I'm not getting more than 2 hours at any one time. So pray for my students that they can endure me.
We can certainly continue to pray for the Lord's grace in all those matters as you continue to care for your sister. Anyone else tonight with a prayer request or maybe a praise or an update? Of course, we do want to keep in prayer those that are out tonight. The Lord would guide them, lead them, that the Word of God would be received, that souls would be saved. Amen. The glory of God. So pray for them as they're out there. Any other requests? If there are
Oh, we got one more in the back, right behind you, Mr. Brown.
Mary Blankenship said she still needs prayer for the healing from her second surgery, but she is thankful that the surgery is working. And today was not a good day for her because of the pain. She also has a friend named Sheila who is diabetic and is just having some things going on there.
Let's certainly pray for each of those. All right. If there are no other requests, if we could, church, take a few moments and find somebody next to you, or just take some time right where you are, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. But wherever we find ourselves tonight, just pause in these moments and take these requests before us.
Thank you.
as we pray here together tonight. That Lord, as we are here praying, as folks are literally praying, Father, across this city, across this country, around the world, that you hear each of us as if we were your only child. I thank you for the deep confidence that we can have coming before our God tonight, because we are a needy people. Father, we face things in this life each and every day, each and every moment that we cannot handle on your own, and we need your grace. Lord, tonight there were many things mentioned about physical needs, whether it's those like Angie who are battling cancer and just need a special healing, a special grace, whether it's those like Carol who are in the hospital and, Father, don't really know exactly what's going on. Father, there's so many physical needs, but Lord, we know that you are able. Lord, that you are our creator, that you are our sustainer, and that you know. So, Father, we ask that you would do what only you can do, whether it's by giving the doctors wisdom and the medicine effectiveness, or whether it's just by your healing hand. We ask, Father, that you would, I pray, bring healing. Father, moreover, I pray that those that are sick and hurting, Father, those that know and love you, I just pray that you would, Lord, even give them a testimony, a grace for the to have a testimony for the sufficiency of our great God that would shine out, Father, even in moments of difficulty and distress. Oh, Lord, I pray for my friend tonight, Brother Gino. And Lord, I ask, Father, that you would, Father, you would be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That you would, Lord, as his best friend from this life has gone on to be with you, Father, I pray that you would be with him. Lord, I thank you for his faithfulness to you, and Lord, the love that he's has towards you, the testimony that he's had for you. And Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, honor and bless him, that you would honor and bless the kids. And Lord, that you would just pour out your blessings upon that family. Lord, help them to know that they are loved, and help them to know that they are prayed for. And help us, I pray, to be sensitive to how you might have us to be a friend to them, to be a conduit of your grace. Lord, I think of our country tonight. Lord, and the needs seem great. The needs seem so much bigger and so much more complex than we even seem to know what to do with. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that the problems are not too big for you, that the problems are not too complex for you, that in fact, you are still the answer to everything our nation and this world needs. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to humbly, and that you would help us to lovingly lift high the cross of Jesus Christ and the healing that it brings, both for our eternal destiny and our everyday. Father, I pray that you would just help us as we love one another and pray for one another, again, to be sensitive in how you would lead us to be a source of grace and strength for one another, to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We love you and we thank you again for the great privilege that it is to come before your throne. May we never take for granted the reality that we get to call the almighty creator of the universe our Abba, our Daddy, our God. Help us, I pray, to honor you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, church, for praying, for continuing to pray for one another. I'd ask you tonight for our Bible study that you turn back to the Gospel of John in chapter number 4. The Gospel of John in chapter number 4. And we're going to continue to unpack this passage of Scripture that we started in last week under the title of Sowing and Reaping. Sowing and Reaping. And so again, we are in the Gospel of John chapter number 4. And I want to look at another thought along those lines. In fact, entitled tonight, Seeking
fruit. Sowing and reaping, seeking fruit. And we're going to read for a bit of a summary, verses 4 through 15, and then we're going to jump into the text tonight to unpack this other avenue of sowing and reaping in the world in which we live. So I invite you, if you can, to stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word. We're going to be in the Gospel of John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 4. And the Bible says this, "And he must needs go through Samaria. Then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." It was about noon. "And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Father, we love you. And I ask tonight that you have your will and your way, that you work in our hearts. Help us to both hear and heed that which you would have for us to do. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we understand as believers that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And ladies and gentlemen, at one time that included each and every one of us. Amen. Every single one of us are born lost in our sin, alienated from God. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we understand that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he left this earth, he commissioned the church. That's you and I. That's you and I who know him today. He commissioned the church to continue to seek to see saved those who are lost. And we strive, I pray we always do, strive as a church to be a mission-minded church and to be a mission-minded follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no more important mission for you and I in this life than to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to see them born again. You know, we said it last week, Awana is great, but if it's just an avenue for kids to come and wear funny hats and have candy and play games with their friends and they have a good time for 6 years, but they die and go to hell, then we failed. We failed. We talk about RU and what a wonderful program RU is to have. But if all we do is come and love them and encourage them to break the bonds of an addiction, whatever that may be, but we never give them the good news that the Son can make them free indeed, then we failed.
Amen.
To get them off of heroin, but to not tell them about salvation from hell is failure. Is failure. To feed the hurting, to feed the hungry is good. But there is a bread of life that is greater. And the goal is of a mission-minded church, of a mission-minded follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to see people born again, redeemed into the family of God. Now last week we looked at the thought, Consider the idea of being soul focused and learning to see people around us as everyday soul, learning to see people around us as eternal souls that will spend forever somewhere. Not becoming so preoccupied with the everyday that we become unaffected by eternity. And so as we look at people and look into people's eyes, we see the reality that they are eternal soul that will spend forever somewhere. Becoming soul focused or soul conscious. What is this next step then? Once we become soul focused or soul conscious, what do we do? Because, I mean, it's wonderful for me to look across the street or next door or the person in front of me in line at the grocery store and to see somebody and recognize that's a soul and be burdened. But if it ever goes beyond that, it doesn't do us or them a whole lot of good. So what do? Once we have, by God's grace, become soul-focused, the next step in sowing and reaping is seeking fruit. Seeking fruit. So tonight, for a few minutes, I want to look at Jesus again, and then the disciples, and unpack Jesus' method and manner of sharing God's light in this dark world. I want you to notice, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, a heart that initiates. I want you to notice in the Lord Jesus Christ a heart that initiates. See, it's not just that Jesus sees her. It's that Jesus seeks her. You look at verses 5 through 10. We see that he cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Joseph gave his son, Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Notice verse number 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto them, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I want you to notice in Jesus a heart that initiates. You see this here. Who began the conversation? Who began the conversation? Jesus did. And we touched on this last week. In the ordinary scene, Jesus looked for outreach scenarios. And so as we talk about sowing and reaping, what we're not doing in these messages is talking primarily about what's going on a Wednesday night. I think that's a wonderful thing when we corporately can pause and take time and go out. But what we're talking about here is in the ordinary scene of everyday life that we are looking for outreach scenarios. And so we see here that Jesus not only saw the soul, but he began the conversation. Jesus was not preoccupied. We looked at that last week. You know, Jesus could have sat on the well and wondered, when are those stinking disciples going to get back with the food? And he could have wondered and waited and waited and looked down the road and tapped his foot. And, you know, if you want to be preoccupied, you can always be preoccupied, can't you? We can always find a reason to avoid eye contact, can we not? But Jesus wasn't preoccupied. That was last week. This is what I want to key in on this week. Not only was Jesus not preoccupied, Jesus was not passive. Jesus proactively connects with the individual and directs the conversation to spiritual matters. In other words, he's not just seeing them as eternal souls. He is reaching out to them. He is seeking them as eternal souls. And so Jesus began the conversation. Let me point something else out here. Jesus bucked convention. In other words, what makes this way more interesting is who Jesus had the conversation with. The idea that Jesus was having a conversation with this woman was highly irregular. In fact, so much so that the first thing out of her mouth was, who are you and why are you talking to me? It was highly irregular. In fact, if you look at the historical aspects of the day, many would consider it inappropriate. More on that later. But this woman of Samaria, would not have been in the same social circles or in the same social comfort zones as Jesus and his followers would have been assumed to run in. A heart that initiates. Understand, church, that Jesus has given us, and he has lived by an example, a go and tell commission. You know, Mark 16, in verse number 15, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's a go and tell commission. In one of the parables Jesus gave in Luke chapter 14 in verse number 23, the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." In other words, the commission that God gives us is to have a heart that seeks to initiate, to seek and to save, to sow and to reap for the glory of God.
Amen.
Go into all the world, the Bible says, to see them, to seek them. Now here's where we run into trouble. Our world has done a really good job, and I put that in quotation marks. Our world has been really thorough in telling us when, where, and how it's appropriate for us to share our faith.
Right.
Oh, they've done a real good job telling us when, where, and how it's appropriate for you and I to share our faith. By the way, they didn't get their things from the Bible. But it's left a lot of believers in a position where they just feel kind of stuck and awkward. Like, it's hard to know when. You consider those things that hold us back from reaching out, relaying the good news that Jesus saves. You see, it's one thing for you to see the guy next to you on the assembly line as an eternal soul. It's an entirely different thing for us to be able to tell him Jesus saves.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing for us to see our neighbor and to see them as an eternal soul. But it's an entirely different thing for us to walk across the street or to walk across the property line and to tell them the good news that Jesus saves.
Amen.
Right. But I'm afraid sometimes that the church has been berated so and even swallowed so much of this idea of social correctness that we have forgotten how to perform our simple commission. To go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is it that holds us back from reaching out? What is it that holds us back from relaying the good news? I mean, sometimes it's an element of personality. It's an element of self. We're introverted. We're just not really good at talking to people. I've met some people, they can talk to anybody. Anybody. I'm not one of them. I'm not. You may be, and if you are, I'm jealous for you, but I'm not. You throw me in a room of people I don't know, and I try to find the one person I do, or the corner by the snack. That's where I'm comfortable at that point. Sometimes it's elements of personality. We just feel introverted. We don't know. Sometimes it's fear of man. People intimidate us. Sometimes it's fear of failure. But one of the things that hold us back from sharing the good news that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, and that whosoever will may come. What is it that prevents us? You know, I think a lot of times we spend a lot of time trying to diagnose exactly when, where, how, why, what's going on with us, what's the problem with us, and we forget, again, the simplicity of what Jesus has called us to do. You look at the scripture in the Bible, it's very, very clear, very simple, that if we will simply obey, if we will simply obey, if we will simply follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I love what he said to the disciples, Mark chapter 1 and verse number 17. He said to them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." In other words, our responsibility is to do what? To come, to follow, to obey. And whose job is it to transform us in such a way, to equip us in such a way, to lead us in such a way that we see and seek. It's His. Come, and I will make you to become. Now hear me, okay? Hear me. I'm not saying that you need to go out somewhere and street preach. Anybody ever hear ever street preached or seen street preachers? Sometimes people do it well, sometimes people don't do it well. My experience with them, they haven't really done it all that well when I've seen it. When I've seen it, it's basically a couple of guys standing on the street corner holding up a giant sign saying, "Turn or burn!" And they just yell at cars as they go by. Turn or burn! God loves you, right? That's what you get by that, right, John? No. They just seem so angry! You bunch of wicked heathens! We wave the biggest Bible we have at home and we just wave it at people. Not everybody does it that way. Some people do it well, see great success. But when I talk about not just seeing, but seeking, I'm not saying that you got to go street preach somewhere. I'm also not saying that you've got to go pass out gospel tracts. Like Oprah Winfrey gives out cards. You get a tract. And 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 I walk into Walmart and I say, "Sir, you get a tract. And you get a tract. And you get a tract." Everybody gets a... I'm not saying you got to pass out gospel tracts or radio cards like Oprah Winfrey. So what am I saying? I am saying that we need to be willing as followers of Jesus Christ, when the Lord lays it on our heart, to say, "Hi, how are you?" And then let the Lord lead us from there. You know what? Sometimes the Lord has said, "No, don't go any farther. Just build a friendship." Sometimes the Lord has said, "Pass out a tract." Sometimes the Lord has said, "Invite over for dinner." Sometimes the Lord has said, "Go get your Bible." But a heart that initiates. A heart that initiates. To be willing, as the Lord leads, to say, "Hi, how are you? Good." And let the Lord lead. You see, I'm afraid sometimes that as soon as the Holy Spirit starts moving us to move for Him, we do the whole look down, look up. We want to look everywhere but eye level. Maybe I'm the only heathen in the group. But something about this flesh doesn't like initiating. Something about this flesh struggles with that. Can I tell you a really easy place to start? This would be super easy for you. All right, you ready? You ready? Ready? Good, you're ready. You realize that the Lord is blessing us with visitors almost every Sunday. Folks that have never been here before. Some of them even come back. I mean, it's crazy. Some of them come once, they meet us, and then they come back. What if we, when we came in on Sundays or we came in on Wednesdays, we looked for people that maybe didn't seem familiar to us and shake their hand and say, "Hi, my name is. I'm so glad that you're here. Is this your first time with us? Are you local?" And let the Lord lead from there. I tell you, it'd be the craziest thing in the world if we had a visitor that the preacher couldn't even get to because the church as a body was so cognizant of people that God was drawing that we just intrinsically poured out genuine love to welcome them. I mean, it'd be the craziest thing, right? But a heart that initiates, a heart that's willing to answer the call, to answer the move of the Holy Spirit and initiate. So we see in the Savior a heart that initiates. Can I show you the other side of this? And again, I'm going to pick on the disciples a little bit. You see, the other side of a heart that initiates is a heart that isolates. A heart that isolates. You know, we know the disciples. They went, they were hungry, they went to town. We covered this last week. They were very preoccupied with their bellies. and they went to town and they got the food. But we pick up the disciples in one very interesting verse, verse number 27. They walk in on Jesus' conversation with this lady. And in verse number 27 of chapter number 4, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. No man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Meaning they wouldn't say it out loud. I mean, they didn't go to him. They respected Jesus too much to question him publicly. But I see this group of like 12 dudes standing over in the corner, munching on their goodies that they just got from town, going, man, what in the world is he doing? Huddled in their nice little safe group. What's going on? Why in the world is Jesus talking to that lady? And what I see in the disciples here is what I too often see in my own heart. It's a heart that isolates. A heart that sees, but doesn't necessarily initiate. And a couple of reasons they might have distanced. Let me throw out a couple of ideas. Number one, they might have distanced from her over the difference. You know, she was a Samaritan. There were so many cultural barriers. Number one, she was a different gender. Remember I said before that most people would probably think this was inappropriate? Let me read you a little bit of the rabbinical writings from that day. One of their rabbinical teachers wrote, and I quote, "Let no one talk to a woman in the street. No, not even with his own wife." So maybe that was part of it. She was a different gender. She had a different heritage. She was a Samaritan. What a Samaritan was is it was a Jewish person who had a mixed ancestry with the Assyrian people. The Assyrian people were bad, bad people. And there was a mixture of cultures and mixtures of marriages. And the Samaritan people were produced. And so they had a different heritage. By the way, one that the Jewish people hated. You might even use the modern word prejudice. You know, another thing that might have distanced the disciples from the lady, not only a different gender, not only a different heritage, but also different beliefs. You know, the Samaritans had their own religious books. The Samaritans had their own religious place of worship. In fact, we'll see next week as we kind of bring this study to a close that was some of the questions that she asked Jesus. Is it okay that we worship where we worship, or should we all be worshiping where you worship? And so basically, there were some similarities, but you could call it a different belief set or even different religion. So different gender, different heritage, different beliefs. It was just so different. And you know, when the difference is that much, it's easy to be distant. Isn't it? So perhaps they were distanced over their differences. Here's another idea. Perhaps they were distanced from the lady over disgust. Because, you see, we understand from the scriptures, well, we understand from life that she was a sinner like all of us, but the facts of the story seem to bear something out about her. You know, she was going to get water at noon alone. And in her further conversation with Jesus that we'll talk about last week, they talked about some of her relationships. It was evident that this woman wasn't well thought of. To put it kindly, we can pretty conclusively draw the conclusion that she was marked by sin. You see those in society whose lives are marked by sin. And the difference makes it easy to isolate. You know, that's why a lot of religious people do the isolation thing. The motto of many churches is us four and no more. And you hold that motto and then it'll be us three and us two and then you'll be just no more. But I digress. But it's the us four and no more. It's the be careful who you invite to church. All of these things I've heard in real life by real churches. Be careful who you invite to church. Be careful who you talk with. Be careful. It's that compound. Can I say it? Cult mentality. But you see a world and you see people marked by sin. And you know what? Sin is disgusting. It really, really is. My sin, your sin, everybody's sin. It's disgusting. And it's easy to look at a life marked by sin and want to isolate instead of initiate. Church, I'll point out here, it's right to feel disconnected from this world. It is right to feel disconnected from this world because we don't share. We don't share a common father. We don't share a common destination. We don't share, like we talked about Sunday night, common affections. We don't share a common spirit. We don't share. So it's right to feel disconnected from this world. How often I see things, whether it's on television or in politics or violence or different things that you see in this world, and you ask yourself, how does anyone think this is okay? But here's the distinction, church. We're not saying it's okay. We're not calling for compromise. We're calling for compassion. Bible says in the book of Jude, verses 22 and 23, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23 says this, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. It doesn't mean that we don't find sin disgusting. It means that we have the Savior's heart for those who are lost in sin. You know, those that are lost, the Bible teaches, live under the wrath of God. They live under the judgment of God. John chapter 3 and verse number 36 puts it this way. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But notice this present status of these people. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Those that are lost in sin presently abide under the wrath of God. And they don't need you and I to look down on them, look down our noses at them in a hypocritical, puffed up religious sense. They need us to give them the gospel. The good news that Jesus saves to the uttermost. I love the way Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 13. Think about the implications of this. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Look at this, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and putteth it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and they give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the salt and the light is designed to go and combat corruption and darkness. That's why we exist. It's the very nature of who God has created us to be. We're not calling for compromise. We're not calling for compromise. But compassion. Compassion. I remind us tonight that people do not engage in sin. That people do not engage in immorality. They do not fill their veins with drugs. They don't fill their bellies with booze. They don't fight and kill one another. They don't steal from one another. They don't covet because their life is great. They don't do these things because their life is fulfilled, because they're satisfied in their lost condition. They do these things to try to fill the void, to try to numb the longing that only God can fill. And church, we have the bread of life. We know the living water that can quench their thirst. So we see two hearts. A heart that initiates. We see a heart that isolates.
And church, tonight, we need to pray for open doors. And we need to pray for boldness. You know, the early church, you read through the book of Acts, especially in chapter number 4, when the heat got turned up a little bit, the church didn't pray necessarily for safety and security and a well-funded bank account. The church prayed for boldness. Acts chapter 4, be a good study for you. I love what the Apostle Paul asked that the people pray for him for in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 3. He said, with all praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am also in bonds. To pray for boldness, to pray for boldness, to pray for boldness. Because for most of us, it doesn't come naturally. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. So we ask God to do what? To make us to become fishers of men. We ask God to do what? To give us love, His love for the lost. We ask God to do what? To give us boldness. To give us boldness that initiates. We ask God to do what? We ask God to give us wisdom. To give us wisdom to navigate. As we said last week, intentionally cultivate relationships for the sake of the gospel. Church, what we do on Wednesday night, and if you pick up a map and do it on Saturday morning or Tuesday or whatever, all of that is wonderful and good. And I am so glad. I'm committed to it. We're going to hit every door in Klein, every door in Greenspring, and half of some of them other cities. We're going to do it. We're going to do it this year. We may even hit Clyde more than once. We get done with, we prayed for you. We may just hit them all with RU Recovery. You can be free indeed. I am so grateful to have that opportunity to minister corporately, but hear me, Christian. Not just a mission-minded church, but a mission-minded follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it that God has placed in your life that you are intentionally cultivating a relationship with for the sake of the gospel? We know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, don't we, church? So here's the thing. Maybe some of us tonight would say, you know what, I don't really have anybody. Can I encourage you in just a moment? I'm going to ask you to find a place and pray. I'm going to ask as many as would tonight to join me here at the altar again. And we pray, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. God, give me a name. God, give me a soul. Give me somebody I can love for Jesus' sake. We ask God for that. I believe with all my heart that if we ask God for that, guess what He'll do? He'll answer. It may not be the person you want. Had that happen. Really? Him? I'm the only one. I'm a heathen. I try not to be. And then we pray for boldness. Some of us tonight, we just need to pray, God, give us boldness. Lord, give me boldness. Give me a heart that is willing to initiate. A heart that is willing to step out and for the glory of God, let this world know that God so loved the world. Church, hear me. We won't see everyone saved. We won't. Jesus didn't either. But you and I can intentionally develop relationships for the sake of the gospel. And you and I can pray for them. And you and I can invest in them. And you and I can determine not to give up on them for the glory of God. To sow and reap as we have been commanded. And to do so in a manner where we seek fruit. I'm going to ask if you would tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. And this is our opportunity, as you will, to seek God, to ask Him to respond to how He has spoken to us, to ask Him tonight for those things we desire of Him. And church, I wonder if you would join me in asking the Lord to lay some soul upon my heart, not just a corporate matter, but a personal matter.
that you would join me tonight asking the Lord to give me boldness, maybe boldness that I have never had in my entire life. Maybe for my whole life I thought about the fact that I'm an introvert or that I fear man or that I feel failure or I just don't know enough or I just can't do it. Maybe my whole life I have convinced myself that all of these reasons, but I wonder tonight if you'd say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I need you to make me to become a fisher of men. Would you stand with me tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed? Father, tonight we ask that you would have your will and your way. Lord, I pray that if there's one here tonight that has never trusted you as Savior, Lord, that maybe even tonight they would come to Christ before it's eternally too late. Lord, would you lay some soul upon our heart tonight? Lord, would you do what only you can do? In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed, could we each respond to the Lord tonight? As God leads, would you come? How he loved, Lord, how he saw the soul, how he sought the soul. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be encouraged by the model of our Savior, that you'd help us to be emboldened by the manner of our Savior, that you would help us, Lord, as a church and as individual Christ followers, to take up the mantle of our Savior, to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, we thank you. Lord, though you could have done it 10,000 ways, you have chosen to entrust us.